Some 2,000 years ago, God sent his sacrifice. He took our sins upon himself, hung there in our shame. He was spotless and so pure, oh, the Lamb of God for sure. For he took me as I was, oh, praise his name. What a friend he is to me. I can hardly believe that the God of heaven brought me out of shame. Why he loves me, oh, so strong, causes me to have a song. Oh, for he took me as I was, oh, praise his name.
Of the matter on the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang with you, saying welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states and our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Just press the number one, join the conversation. We'd be glad to hear from you, especially your prayer of praise, prayer requests, and any of those good things, as we have Dr. Doug Quick again in the house with us tonight with another great message, and I'm looking forward to that tonight. Back the old rig up to the dock, looking for a great load. So, Sister Ruth, who do we got in the house with us tonight? Amen.
Well, we always got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost band of angels, and I'm sure glad they're there, and I'm sure you all do, too. We have you, Sister Emily, Brother Six, Brother Quick, and little old me.
Okay, well, we're going to start off, as they say, ladies first. Sister Emily, what do you got for us?
Well, today, I got a praise report for everybody. Yesterday, I was in some severe pain with my back, today I got up, no pain. I've got my entire house cleaned, which I ain't been able to do. Did everything in order since I moved in here in December last year. I got it all done today. I turned around, went upstairs, helped my girlfriend, or that actually down below me. I went down, helped her straighten her house out, walked from here all the way down to our Marine Museum in the harbor and back, and still ain't having no pain. But I'm also asking you to be keeping our family in prayer. It's a special unspoken.
All right. Is that it, Emily?
And my normal for first responders, government, nurses, six would say mankind.
All right.
And I'm good.
All right. And then Brother Six, your turn.
Yes. First, let me say condolences to the Quick family. You threw me for a loop when you told me what happened yesterday. So I just want to send out condolences to his family, her family, of the passing of Brother George. Total shock to me. And I just want to say our thoughts and prayers are with you. From the 6 Hours Radio Network, deepest condolences. Praying for mankind surrounding the city and states. Just, you know, everybody. Just, you know, giving everybody a big hug. Pray for my family, and I pray for yours. I'm complete.
All right, and Sister Ruth, your turn.
I'm pretty much praying for everybody you just asked. I'm praising the Lord like Emily is for the pain in my back. It's better, not just the injections, but I've been trying not to overwork. But I did finish the yard, and Kenny actually helped me with cutting the grass, too. So he went around the outside. Being blind, he has to kind of stick himself next to a, you know, the fence. But he did a good job, too, so I just praise the Lord for helping us. And just love everybody.
Amen. And, yeah, yeah, I just hold on to the fence and then pull the mower along the fence line, and I'm able to get a couple swipes in, but that's the best I can do. But, hey, I'm able to help a little. And just keep us in prayer there, still for the Bus for the Blind ministry, keeping everything in prayer, of course, for first responders, those in nursing homes and hospitals, those who work there. We still want to be keeping in prayer, as Brother George would say, our first responders, the politicians, this country, lost souls in general. And, of course, we want to keep Brother Quick in prayer tonight for clarity of mind, clarity of speech, clarity of thought as he gives his message tonight. We want to keep the Quick family in prayer. We also just want to keep, of course, lost souls in general. And that somebody who is hearing this tonight would come to Christ, and, of course, all of the 6 Eyes Radio Network team for them as well. And that's it. So, Brother Quick, we're going to turn it over to you and your missus for any prayer requests you have. And then you can open us in prayer, and then it's all yours, buddy.
All right. Thank you, Brother Ken. And it's always good to hear praise reports, for sure. We take down these prayer requests, and we pray for these requests as much as what we can. But when we get these praise reports, that just lifts our load a whole lot also, and we're just always glad to hear. Miss Emily, that was a very good praise report from you. And Miss Ruth, the same thing on you also. My wife was just clearing her throat. Let's see what she's got to say here.
I want to thank everybody for praying for my family and with the passing of my brother. His daughter also lost her mother 3 days after her daddy. And
oh,
I was really concerned about her, and I just tried to call her, and she wouldn't answer the phone. And all of a sudden, Sunday after church, I said, for some reason, I've got to try Debbie and just see if she won't answer the phone tonight. And she answered right away and said she was fixing to call me. And she had such a praise report of how the Lord has just comforted her and given her such peace. And it was just amazing how well she's doing. And I believe it's because of everybody praying. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Yeah, amen.
Yes, we love you. We love you. And anything we can do, please let the Six Eyes Radio Network know. We're here for you.
Thank you, Brother Six.
Yes, sir.
I called Pastor Mike Alverson. He's pastoring the work that we planted there 48 years ago. And they don't hardly have anybody coming anymore. They only had three coming. And George was always concerned and doing what he could to see what he could get things going. And I waited for a few days because Pastor Mike is 85 years old. And I knew it was going to be rough on him. And so I called him a few days afterwards and I said, Brother Alverson, I want to let you know that we've been praying for you. And he opened up and he said, Brother Doug, there was more people that come to that funeral than has been in that building probably since the church was even founded 40-some-odd years ago. He said there was 70 people. And most of those were people that came that do not know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior.
Wow. And, look at that.
I mean, I just, you know, and there was another pastor that had come that George knew, you know, and he knew George. And so he just asked Brother Alverson, you know, could he have a little part in it, you know. And Brother Alverson said, you sure can. And Brother Alverson told me, he said, it blew me away. He said he used the very same verses that I was going to use, except he added two or three more verses to that. He said it was just wonderful for the Lord to be in that whole thing. And I wanted to shout. I didn't want to scare him. I mean, he's 85 years old, and I didn't want to shout in his ear and scare him like that. But as soon as I got off the phone, I did some shouting, that's for sure. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
The most that we had while we were there, we had a revival come in who was a former pastor of both of ours. And one service, there was, I think, 52. That's the most people that we could ever get in the 2 years or so that we were there. And there was, I think there was 11 people that come to know Christ during that revival. And it was just a wondrous time. But this just really blew me away to find that there were 70 people that came, and most of those do not know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So those of you that are hearing us, please, please, please be praying for Pastor Mike Alverson every Lord's Day that the Lord will strengthen him, because he's got a job ahead of him, and he doesn't even know that yet. George's two sons were there, and neither of them know Christ. And one of George's sons, his oldest son, was there. He doesn't know Christ. And then Bonnie's oldest brother had a son there, and his son was there, and neither of them know Christ. And so just really, really be praying for this bunch up here at Community Baptist Church in Grant, Michigan, because God can still do a wondrous work there. I'm convinced of that, and I believe that Brother Mike Alverson is convinced of that also. So just really, really be praying for him. That's one reason why God left him around here. He's 85 years old and still preaching the Word of God. And he still preaches it strong. Hallelujah. All right. Well, we just Miss Quick and I still got our two unspoken requests that we're still asking the Lord for. And, you know, I bring this up like this, and then through the week, anytime that we're anywhere around these requests that we're bringing to the Lord and we're asking the rest of you to bring to the Lord, it just never ceases to amaze me to see how God is beginning to soften hearts. And that just, that'll blow you away for sure. And I'm just asking, just continue to pray for these two special unspoken requests of ours. And when the Lord answers, we'll sure enough let you know that the Lord has answered them. Well, let's pray, and then I'm going to get into this message tonight. Our Father, thank you for these moments again together. Thank you for all of these requests that came in tonight. And Lord, we just bless your wonderful name for Six Eyes Radio Network and for how it is that you have made us a part of this network. And we're just overwhelmed to know that you are using us in such a way that you are. And so we're asking this night that there would be much fruit that would come to the name of the Lord Jesus through the preaching of the Word of God again this night. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with Miss Emily. Thank you for how you strengthen her today. And I'm asking that you continue to be with Miss Ruth and keep your hand upon her. She's her own eyes, plus she's also eyes for her husband. And she knows that, and her husband knows that, pleading with you that you just keep your hand upon them and strengthen these girls for sure. And then for Brother Six, that you just continue to keep your hand upon him. And then for these requests that have come in, and if George were still here, I know that he would have given the same request that he gives every week for this nation of ours. Oh, dear God, we need you really, really bad. And you know that. And I believe that you're doing a work. You're starting to do a good work. And I'm glad to be a part of that. And I'm just asking now you just be with us this night. Strengthen us and touch us in a very special way. I must have that fresh filling of your spirit in order to preach this your message for this night. And we'll just thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I don't want to wander around too much in the Word of God tonight. I'm going to use different scripture for sure. But I didn't want to wander too awful far. But where I'm going to start out at is the book of Genesis, chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1. And I want to look at some of the words that God has given us to look at. Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 1, says this: In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You see, Genesis chapter 1 lets us know, it makes a declaration of God himself. You see, God was here before anything else was here. Because all things are here because God put them here. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, listen to these words. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things persist. Isn't that amazing? In the beginning, God. If God had given us just that much of verse number 1, that'd be enough to blow our minds, that's for sure. But you see, that means that no one was around to vote him in as God. which means that God is the sovereign ruler. Nobody was here to vote on him. It wouldn't have done any good if they were, because God is God. God has always been here. You see, John chapter 1 says this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse number 2 says, the same was in the beginning with God. Verse number 3 says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So that backs up real strongly what we read in Colossians chapter 1. God made everything. Everything God made. That's all there is to it. You see, God has never had a beginning. I'm going to say some of these things more than once because I want to kind of sink in a little bit. Our God, my God, has never had a beginning. He has no yesterdays. He has no tomorrows. Our God is not confined to time like you and I are. In the beginning, God. This statement is the foundation of all theology and truth. This four-word statement, in the beginning, God. This four-word statement is the foundational for all that you will ever believe about God, about creation, and about all of eternity. You see, this statement is the foundation for what you believe about the authorized AD 1611 King James Bible, because the authorized AD 1611 King James Bible is that book that God gave us where we can listen to it, read it, and understand it. Amen. Amen. You see, this statement comes to us from strength. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. You see, God is the originator of all things. Hebrews chapter 1 says this, verse number 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. Hallelujah. Amen. The ignoring of this statement is the seed of all false doctrine. False doctrines everywhere. We see this all throughout the New Testament, because the scribes and the Pharisees did the same thing. But listen to this now. False doctrine always begins with man and tries to work up to God. Every false doctrine, every false religion does that. But God always begins with God and works down to man. Hello. The scribes and Pharisees would come to say, to the Lord Jesus, and they'd say, show us a sign. And Jesus would say to them, why not, or why should I? You won't believe what you've already seen anyhow. And they always time wanted a sign, wanted a sign, wanted a sign. And Jesus would not give them that sign. Oh, listen. The Bible is written in human languages. It is addressed to human ears. It is written by human hands, but it begins with God. In the beginning, God. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. I know what 2 Peter says. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's how we got the Word of God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen and amen. Now listen to me. In the beginning, God. God is a personal God that created. In the beginning, God created. He's a personal God that created. Things do not create themselves like the so-called doctrine of evolution teaches. Evolution is so far out in left field. Well, I don't know if they even made it to left field. They're so far out in false believing and everything. It's just crazy for anybody to think they can believe that kind of stuff. But you see, in the beginning, God created. Hallelujah. I love that. In the beginning, God created. God is the God with the plan, and his plan was to create. He already knew about the sin of man in the Garden of Eden. He hadn't even put man in the Garden of Eden. He hadn't even planted the Garden of Eden yet. He didn't know that he hadn't done any of that. But he already knew about that wicked thing that Adam and Eve would fall right into after he had warned them, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And the Wizard of Oz, I want to say, the devil came along, and he got to speaking with Eve, and Eve got to listening to him, hello, and then she went ahead and started believing him, and that's where the sin of man came from, right there. But you see, God already knew about the sin of man in the garden before the garden was ever planted. He already looked upon Christ as being crucified. 1 Peter chapter 1 says this, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Oh, hallelujah. You see, God is the purchasing God who created. He is sending his only begotten son to this earth to pay every man's sin debt and praise his wonderful name. Ain't it wonderful? He knows that some of us would repent. He knows that some of us would trust Christ to save our soul. He knows that. He knows that a long, long before he ever put anything in place. He knew that. He knew that the hour was coming when this old fellow was going to bow his head and his heart and trust Christ. He knew that. I'm sure that I'm speaking to somebody tonight that's never trusted Christ to save your soul. Well, listen. Don't listen to the devil. The devil will tell you, well, there's no way, there's no hope for you. Oh, yeah, there certainly is. I want you to listen to what else I've got to say tonight, because there is hope for every sinner yet to this day. That's for sure. But you see, I'm giving you a few thoughts tonight on my Lord the Creator. My Lord the Creator. Over the next few weeks, I would like to bring some other thoughts containing words, my Lord. And we'll just see how the Lord leads us that way. But you see what I'm saying? God is a purchasing God who created. He's sending his only begotten son to come here to die for the sin debt of every man that has ever been conceived and has ever been here. Amen and amen. He knew that some of us would repent. He knew I was going to trust Christ. He knew Brother Six was going to trust Christ. He knew Brother Ken was going to trust Christ. He knew that long before we ever did. Amen. But he knew that. But we didn't know that until we come to the moment when we had to repent of our own sin for the Lord Jesus to come and save us. And he did that also, I'm telling you. You see, you may never have trusted Christ to save your soul, and you cannot make these same statements tonight until after God brings that convicting power of sin upon your heart, until after you have trusted Christ to save your own soul. And yes, 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 you can know beyond all doubt that you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Oh, listen, the Word of God is so rich and so full and gives us so much hope, so much hope. I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there is hope in this Bible. Sit around and let that Bible just gather up dust. I know there's a whole lot of people. The only time they'll take their Bible to the church house is on Sunday. Excuse me. Let me reword that. I know there's a whole lot of people don't even take their Bible to the church house anymore. They've got their own little favorite pew, and they leave their Bible there Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Amen and amen. They sure do. We visited a church. This is probably just a short time after we moved here into Waycross. And this church is not too far away from the house. And so all of the family was still here to the house. And I thought, well, let's just go over there and just see what happens. Just, you know, make sure they're going to preach out of the right book and all that good stuff. Just go over there and just see if we can have some fellowship with somebody. And so we went over and walked in the auditorium. I walked up to a pew and I said, well, this looks like a pretty good place to sit. So we all sat down there. It wasn't long. And this elderly lady came along and she stopped right alongside of me. And I looked up at her and I said, well, good morning, sis. How you doing today? And she, all she'd do just gave me a dirty look. She wouldn't even say a word. But it wasn't long and somebody else came in and they called this lady by her name. And they said, the service is about to start. You need to get set down. And she looked back down at me and she says, I would, but somebody's got my pew. Miss Quick kind of nudged me a little bit. And she was snickering. She didn't want to be heard, but she was snickering. And I just nudged back with Miss Quick and I said, I wouldn't move from this pew right now if somebody offered me $100 bill, would you? She says, I don't think so. And we didn't do that to be mean. We were sitting in the pew, didn't know that her name, this old gal's name was on that pew. I don't think anybody's name was on any pew, amen. It would seem to me like they would have been glad to have us because we were visitors. But she sure wasn't glad, amen. Well, anyhow. That's beside the point. But you see, you who have never trusted Christ to save your soul will never be able to say these same statements like what I have said already tonight. Not until after God brings conviction to your own heart concerning your sin. And when God does that and you bow your head and your heart before God and you begin to cry out and plead with God that he would forgive you of your sin, and then that you would cry out and ask Christ to come and save your soul. Until you do that, you'll never understand the truth of what I'm even saying this night. You'll never understand it. It'll never hit you. But you see, in the beginning, aided, well, the rest of Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1 says this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I know there's a whole bunch. They think that the earth was a real mess. I mean, how could God come along and be the creator of such a mess of what this world was at that time? And then there's someone else that comes along and they say, oh, well, that's because the devil had already sinned And this, the earth is where God had put him here to stay. And so God judged the earth, and that's why the earth is in such a mess. No, that's not that at all. You see, God is a planning God. God had everything planned out concerning the creation of this world. Amen and amen and amen. I preached to you one time, and I said, all of the movement that God did when he created, there's worlds out there that we don't even know anything about yet. No man knows anything about it because it's so far, way advanced out. We don't even know if there's ever going to come to be an end to this creation that God put here in the world. But that those far out places like that, like Mars and all them places that's so far away, God just stretched out his arm, and that's how he got him out there. Amen. I won't go there again this week, but that's exactly how God created. Our scientists, every once in a while, they'll get so excited because they will have discovered another whatever it is they call them things, and it's something that's so many mega millions of miles away. And they finally just discovered it, and they just think it's really something. Well, God's the one that put it there, or put everything there. Amen. God is the one that put everything there because in the beginning, God created. And it's the whole universe that we can ever even think to know about that God put in place. That's exactly what he did. But you see, who else could create such a world as ours, or better yet, who else would have even begun the world that we're in today? Nobody but God, because God is the only one that's got a plan. Who else could care so much for their creation? Nobody but God. Nobody. Who else would love us? You and me. Who else would love us enough to die for our sin debt when he had no sin of his own? Only God would do that. You see, only God had that only begotten Son. Now, I know there's different versions that they just say that when God created things, that just, you know, he just used his Son. One of them says that he used his only Son. Well, there's a world of difference between God's Son and God's only Son, and the fact of God's only begotten Son. God only had one only begotten Son, and his only begotten Son was the one that was virgin born and brought here through the Spirit of God. Mary was the one that conceived and birthed him. Listen to me now. Only God could do something like this. Jesus lived here in this earth for 33 and a half years. Everything and everybody was against him, but it took Jesus himself to die on that cruel cross with that death that he went through. It took Jesus with that death that he went through to pay for the sins of all men. But he had to fulfill the law. That's the only way he could do it. I couldn't fulfill the law. You couldn't fulfill the law because the law was a very strict thing. God knew that. God knew that. Jesus knew that also. That's why the scribes and Pharisees would come to Jesus and they'd say, All right. Who sent you out here? And Jesus would say, well, if you knew my Father, then you'd know why I was here. That's about the only answer Jesus would give him. Jesus wouldn't say, well, I'm the only begotten Son of the Father, and that's the reason why I'm here. Jesus never said that. Never said that at all. But Jesus went to the cross of Calvary. He died. He gave his own life for every sinner, and every man and every woman has been born a sinner since the days of Adam and Eve. Everyone has been born a sinner, amen, and Jesus paid the sinner's price to get into glory. But so many decided to go their own way. I know that. I've been preaching for nearly 50 years. I've dealt with men and I've dealt with women. I've dealt with those that said, well, that thief on the cross, he waited until his dying moment before he trusted Christ. I'm going to wait until my dying moment. Well, you're not going to have the opportunity to wait until your dying moment. Amen. Who knows about that thief? That could have been the only time that he ever knew anything about the Lord Jesus. He could have been locked up in prison 3.5 years that Jesus ministered here on this earth. And the only way that he could have heard about Jesus was hanging on a cross there beside him. Amen. I won't get into that either. I'll preach another message another time without getting into that now. But you see what I'm saying tonight is, God, my Lord, the Creator, and Jesus was here for sure. God the Father was here for sure. God the Spirit was here for sure. Amen. Who else could create such a world? Still love it. Nobody but God. Because if man would have created this world in the shape that it's in right now, man would have let it go on down to hell all by itself. Amen and amen. Because man couldn't have done anything about it. But Jesus could do something about it, and God can do something about it. Who else would love us enough to die for us and pay our sin debt when he had no sin debt of his own? That was the Lord Jesus. He took upon himself my sin, upon myself, his righteousness, and live forever in heaven. Amen. We read that in the Word of God, and I won't get into that tonight either. You see, no one else would, who else would vow to never leave us, never forsake us, no matter where we would go, no matter what we would do? Only God. And the God that did that and is doing that is the God that I'm preaching to you about right here tonight. Who else would love us enough to die for us when he didn't have any sin of his own? Only the Lord God himself. Who else would bless us in the midst of such filth that we live in now? Who else would do that? Nobody would do that except for God himself. That's the only one that would do it. You see, who else meets every need every day? No one else except God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, but my God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's the only one that'll do it, is the God I'm preaching to you tonight about. No one could do any of this but God. No one, no one, no one could come back to this world like it is and love sinners, put sinners under conviction, and love sinners unto himself. Nobody can do that except God himself. In the beginning, God. You better remember those four words. In the beginning, God. That's the foundation of all theology. And in the beginning, God. Oh, there's nothing in the authorized version that will change your mind on anything that God has ever done. You see, God is a personal God. He's a God that came here and created. He's a God that came here and put things in order. Amen. You read Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter number 2. Just sit down and read it. It'll tell you a whole lot about the fact of God coming here to put things in order like what he did. But you see, it is a purchasing God who created everything like it is. It's a purchasing God because he had his only begotten son that came here and died in your place and in my place. That's the only way that I could get to heaven. That's the only way that you can get to heaven is to fall under conviction of your blessed, your crazy sin, fall under conviction knowing that you're a sinner, fall under conviction knowing that you cannot save yourself, fall under conviction knowing that God himself is the only one that can save your soul, fall under conviction and trust Christ to save your soul. And I promise you, before you get up off your knees, you're going to know that somebody has moved into your heart. Amen and amen. That's exactly how it was with me. That's exactly how it was with Miss Quick. That's exactly how it was with my dad. That's exactly how it was with Bonnie's grandparents. They knew before they got up off their knees that the Spirit of God had moved into their heart. Paul was 92 years old when he trusted Christ. He went home to be with the Lord that same year, didn't make 93. He went home that same year. And I want you to know something. My wife got under such conviction. I was so dirty. I was working on a car. We went to a car shop in order to get some parts. I was so filthy. Came through that little town where her grandparents were living in a rest home. And she says, honey, before we leave here, I've got to stop and see Grandma and Grandpa. That's all there is to it. I said, child, I'm so filthy, dirty, I can't afford to go in there like that. She said, I've got to do it. That's all there is to it. Just drop me off and just pray for me. And so I dropped her off, and I stayed out in the car, and I prayed for her. And pretty soon, here she comes, bawling like a little baby. She got in the car, and I said, what happened? She said, they both just came from a church service, not just a few minutes before I got there. Neither one of them knew how to trust Christ. Both of them were waiting for somebody to come and tell them how to, they could know that they were a Christian. They were waiting for somebody to come and tell them.
Amen.
And she says, I went and told them, and she says, they got down on their knees, and she said, they trusted Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what it takes. It takes the power of God upon your heart and upon my heart to change somebody else's heart. Amen. That's exactly what it takes. But you see, nobody but God could do what I have preached to you about this night. Nobody could do this except God. Nobody could come and deal with a sinner's heart. Sinner. There's no such thing as a sinner in heaven. There's no such thing as sin in heaven. Heaven is a perfect place. Only ones there are those that's been bought by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. No sinner there. We used to be a sinner. That's what they'll all say. But they're not a sinner there any longer. Now they're perfect. Now they're saved by the marvelous grace of God. Now they're home to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. All because Jesus came and took their place on the cross of Calvary. Who else could create such a world like what we've got now? Nobody but God. Who else would care so much for their creation to care for it? Nobody but God. Who else would love such sinners as you and me? Nobody but God. Who else would love us even enough to die for our sins when he had no sin of his own? Nobody but God. Who else would vow to never leave us and never forsake us, no matter what we did, no matter where we'd go? Nobody but God. Who else would bless us in the midst of such filth? Nobody but God. Who else would meet our every need every day? Nobody but God. No one but God. No one but God. No one but God. No one but God. Amen and amen. That's all there is to it. That's all I can preach to you about tonight. Nobody can do what needs to be done in your heart but God. And God will do it when you repent of your sin and when you trust Christ to come and save your soul. Then he'll move in. You know he'll move in. He'll move in, never to leave you. Amen and amen. Who can do such a thing like that? No one but God. Amen and amen. No one but God can save somebody so filthy in sin like Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus was there. He put Christian after Christian to death. He put Christian man and Christian woman in prison, one right after the other, thinking that he was doing God a big favor. But then he fell under conviction. Then he hit the road to Damascus. He was going to do the same thing up in Damascus. But there the Spirit of God met him right there on that road. And Saul of Tarsus knew what it was like to be under conviction. That's why his first words out to the Lord was this: Who art thou, Lord? He already knew who it was. It was the Lord that spoke back to him and said, you're going to go and you're going to do what I do, and you're going to go someplace where I tell you to go, and you're going to preach the word of God wherever I tell you to go preach. And Saul of Tarsus became the Apostle Paul just a short time after that. How did he do that? He couldn't do it on his own. Nobody did it but God. Nobody can do it with you but God. Nobody can change the way you're living but God. Nobody but God. Are you ready to be changed? God's ready to change you. I'm going to pray, pleading with you even now. I'm pleading with you even now that you will listen to the Spirit of God as he speaks to your heart. That you'll repent of your sin. That you trust Christ to save you. Even now, before I begin to pray, I would plead with you, you do that. Our Father, thank you for these moments again this night. Thank you for this message that you've given me, my Lord the Creator. Thank you, Lord, for all of the truth that you spoke to me about, that you taught me, that you continue to teach me. Thank you for Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Hallelujah. Ever since then, God has been making new creatures out of sinners. Those of us who would listen to him. Those of us who would repent of our sin. Those of us who would plead for Jesus to come and save us. That's exactly who you're dealing with, Lord. Even this night, I would plead with you that you just continue to deal with hearts and bring much fruit unto the name of the Lord Jesus even this night. And we'll sure enough thank you, and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, my snail mail address is 1122 Church Street. That's Waycross, Georgia, 31501. We're just so thankful that we live here in the blessed United States of America. And we know that America's dirty in sin. We know all about that. But we also know that our God is very capable of changing things around. And we're just planning on that. And we would ask that you just plan right along with us concerning that. So just remember my address, if you would, please. 1122 Church Street. That's Waycross, spelled capital W-A-Y-C-R-O-S-S, Georgia, 31501. And we're right here in the good old United States of America. And we're just really excited because we know that God's dealing with hearts through what we said again this night. So, Brother Ken, you just take over from here.
Amen. And for our listeners that are overseas that wish to contact him and make it a little quicker, can contact him via email. They just send it to me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's F-E-E-L, letter N is Nancy, T-O-U-C-H-K-I-N-G, @gmail.com. And in your subject line, just put question or comment for Brother Quick. Then we will send that to him. We'll print it off, send it to him, and then when he sends us back the reply, we will PDF that to you so you'll have his response. That will make it much quicker for you that are outside the USA and wish to contact him. And Brother Quick, I just wanted to mention that you must be sneaking around and listening at a later time to our Wednesday programs, because when you started talking about evolution, that's what we've been playing for the last several weeks is messages about that very subject. So it's interesting that you would bring that up. And I was like, what was he doing? Listening in? So, and then also you were talking about the distances they were talking about. You know, the scientists, they talk about the measurements of the heavens. They measure that, you know, the distances, the great distances, they measure that by light years, the distance light travels in a year, which the speed of light is somewhere around 200,000 miles a second, and you multiply that out to how long that would be in 1 year, and that's this what they call the speed of light, a light year, and they measure distances in space, how far things are out by the light year, and the only thing we've come up close to that here on Earth is gossip. Amen. All right, so Sister Ruth, who do we got with us tonight that may have a question or comment?
Oh, we still got the Lord, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We got you, Emily, Brother Six, Brother Quick, Queen Nye, and me.
All right. Well, since we got Queen Nye, if you got any questions, comments, or prayer requests, Queen Nye, we'll let you start us off.
All right, good evening, everyone. Praise God. I don't have any questions. I felt like the message was very good. It's probably the first time I've really just been able to just listen uninterrupted, and I found it enlightening. I always love reading the book of Genesis because, you know, it just tells about the beginning, how everything got started, and, you know, the actual beginnings. You know, God, I've always felt like God was the greatest architect. He designed everything. So, and I'm just amazed. Sometimes you can just sit out and look at nature, and you're just like, wow. You see that everything he designed has a purpose.
Right.
And I know this because I am a designer by trade or career. So always in admiration of God's work. And as far as prayer requests, I just ask that you keep my family lifted in prayer, as well as the Quick family. So, you know, my sincerest condolences to each and everyone, the Six family, which is my family too, Missionary Ken and Sister Ruth, continued prayer for them and God uplifting them, prayer for Sister Emily, Sister Lila, and prayer for Pastor Bonnet and his wife and family, and may God continue to heal him through his recent experience. And we just thank God that he's able to continue to come back and share God's word and give his testimony. With that, I am complete. Thank you very much.
Amen. All right. Brother Six, do you have any questions, comments, or any prayer requests you missed at the beginning of the show?
No. Great message as always. I encourage everybody to go back and listen. Great message as always. And just my praying for mankind, the world, my family, your family. And that's it.
Okay. And Sister Ruth.
I think I'm just going to pray for everybody and leave it at that, because the Lord knows and he's got the mail, so he knows what's going on, and I'll just leave it that way.
Okay. Well, Brother Quick, with that, you've got it all there, so we'll let you close us in a word of prayer, and I want to invite everybody for tomorrow's show, AJ and the Squad, 9 p.m. Eastern, here at the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Now, Brother Ken, I got to tell you right now, I have not heard one word on your Wednesday program. So whatever came out of my mouth had to have come from the Lord, that's for sure. I just want to let you know that. Amen. All right, let's pray. Our Father, thank you for this night. Thank you for all that you have done for us and through us. And Lord, we're just asking now, you be with Queen and I, that you just continue to keep your hand upon her. And thank you, Lord, for her, what she had to say concerning how it is that you have got everything designed so beautifully, and you do have. And we're asking now you just continue to be with us this week and strengthen us in all the things that we have that we'll be doing. And just keep your hand upon Brother Six Eyes and Six Eye Radio Network and whatever the need is. I would plead with you, you just meet that need accordingly. And then, Lord, thank you so much for each of these requests that was given tonight. Thank you for Miss Emily and for her praise report. And for Miss Ruth, she's generally always got some kind of praise report. We're glad for that. Brother Ken is still waiting on you for a bus to be able to get out to the blind around. And so you just minister according to your sweet and wonderful will there. Be with us this night and help us in all that we do. I'm asking you just strengthen each one of us in a special way. We'll sure thank you and praise you for that also. Watch over us now, and thank you for all of our prayer warriors and for everyone that prays for us, even through Six Eyes Radio Network. We're just very glad for that. I'm asking you just meet every need we don't even know about, even tonight. And we'll sure enough thank you and praise you for all that you do. For it's in Jesus' name that I have asked this. Amen. Good night, y'all.
Good night, everybody. And God bless.
Bye-bye.
Good night, America. Mm-hmm.